You tuned in New Sound Radio. 92 FM. This is the Community Hour, and I'm Pete Day. Now, last week, the Friends of West Ham Park organised a special event after the park had closed in the dead of night. Now, the idea was to have a stargazing event where local people could experience the wonders of the universe from the relatively dark surroundings of the park, experience the moons of Jupiter, the rings of Saturn, along with the sightings of distant, mysterious galaxies thousands of light years away. Well, it wasn't to be. I don't know if you can remember it, but this time last week, it was pretty much as it is now. The clouds rolled in, the rain poured down. You know, it's not so much trying to spot anything in the sky. All you could see really was the odd thundercloud going past. Anyway, no matter, local amateur astronomer and friend of West Ham Park, Lindsay Jones, gave a fascinating talk, yeah, to the people who went along there, all about the night sky and what we'll be able to see when, I don't know, eventually, I suppose it's going to stop raining.
Well, one of the things the Friends of West Ham Park are very keen to do is to introduce people in our area to nature as much as we can. And just like we've done with our bat walks, people are surprised to find how much nature we've got and how much you can see. Obviously, there's a lot of light pollution around this area, but the middle of the park is about as dark as it gets around here. And we're trying to show people that you can see stars in London, it's not a waste of time, and introduce them to some of the stars that they'll be able to pick out and give a name to.
What sort of things do you see? Do you need specialist equipment for this? I mean, how does it all work?
You can see a lot just with the naked eye, because obviously in this area we can only see the biggest and brightest stars. At the moment you can see Jupiter very clearly. If you've got binoculars and a steady hand, you can see up to four of Jupiter's moons.
You can see Jupiter's moons?
You can see four of them. Jupiter's got a lot of moons, but we can see the four that Galileo found with the first telescope that was ever invented. And if you watch over several nights, you can see them change places as they orbit Jupiter.
And what other things can you see?
Well, you can see, particularly in winter, you can see there's a big famous constellations that most people have heard of, like Orion, Taurus, obviously the Plough. If you look across to Orion, within that constellation, you can pick out an area called the Orion Nebula, which is an area where stars are actually being born. And also, one of the brightest stars of Orion, Betelgeuse, but we always say Betelgeuse in English. Betelgeuse is a huge red star, which is, with sometime within the next million years, will die. So within the one constellation, you can see examples of stars being born and died and passing their lifestyle.
And do you actually have need binoculars for this, or can you see this with a...
No, you can see Betelgeuse very, very clearly with your naked eye. You can even make out that it is a red star. You need binoculars to see the fuzzy patch, which is what we can see of the nebula, but it's very easy to pick out.
Of course, there's all these different stars and constellations and things. And a lot of people, when they look up, I mean, they're used to seeing the stars, but to actually make these shapes of it, you know, they say like Leo the lion, and people don't look up in the sky and they can't see a lion or anything like that. How do you actually identify these stars?
Well, you get a star chart and it shows you what the shapes are. Some of them, actually, you mentioned Leo. Leo does have a shape in it that could possibly be imagined as a lion's head, but most of them take a very great stretch of the imagination. Nowadays, there are really good apps that you can get for your smartphone or iPad, star chart. Some of them are even free. And they work that you can pick up your phone or tablet, hold it up to the sky, and it will show you what's behind it in the sky. So you can see exactly what you're looking at. The problem, of course, is that then you've blinded yourself because you're looking at the bright pad and then you look up at the sky and you can't see and back again. But it's a good way of learning where to look and what the shapes are. But I actually favour an old-fashioned planisphere, which is a paper gadget. Then you dial it to the time and direction you're looking and it will show you exactly what you can look for in the sky.
So, I mean, just how far away are these objects? I mean, you know, what sort of distances are we talking about?
Well, Betelgeuse, that I was talking about, is 427 light years away. And light travels at 300,000 kilometres a second. So there's a lot of noughts on the end of it.
We're talking about a hell of a way, yeah.
A very, very long way. And this is one of the problems when people look to see if there is life on planets around other stars. Because if we send a message to Betelgeuse at the speed of light, and it takes 427 years to get there, and somebody on Betelgeuse says pardon, sends pardon back, and it gets back here 850 years later, and we've gone, haven't we? So it's always going to be a problem.
I mean, of course, I suppose it could have disappeared hundreds of years ago as well, just completely blown up or something.
Yes, we know that Betelgeuse is a star in the last stages of its life, and it may be gone. You know, it may be blowing up now, but we won't know anything about it for 427 years. So, yes.
And just thinking of all these stars, do you think any of them are inhabited?
As we're now finding that planets around stars are the norm rather than an unusual thing, we found so many planets around other stars in the last sort of 5 or 10 years, it seems pretty unlikely that there would only be one where life had started. My personal interest is in looking within the solar system because, for instance...
You mean our own solar system here?
Yes, our own solar system. Jupiter, for instance, has a moon called Europa, which we know has an ocean under its icy crust. We know it has heat in it. It has all the things that we have found life on Earth. And I think that one day we will find microbes or something within our solar system. I don't think we'll find anything waving a flag and wanting to say hello.
Not a little green men coming out. Yeah.
No, not at all. But I think the point about it is that if you find life of any kind somewhere else, then you have to assume that it's everywhere.
There's these people recently who are going to go off to Mars. Would you fancy going on that trip? I think it's a one-way trip, by the way, isn't it?
Yes.
We're not trying to get rid of you or anything like that.
It was suggested by the members of our astronomy group. They were looking for a couple who could get on well with us for that length of time. And as my husband and I have been married nearly 40 years now, they were suggesting that maybe we should volunteer. It's got its attractions, obviously, but... No, I don't think I'd be signing up for that one.
And you probably wouldn't be able to listen to New Sound Radio either. That would be a real drawback, wouldn't it?
Oh, well, that does it then. If you don't broadcast to Mars, I'm not going.
I'm just thinking, if somebody was listening and they're sort of thinking, I don't know, I'd like to find out more about it. Someone, what would be a good starting point for them? Somebody who's just starting out.
Well, I started out when my dad brought home the Ladybird Book of the Night Sky when I was 9 and gone on from there. I would say, you know, get a book or maybe get the Star Chart app for your phone and get an idea of what's around. There's also very good magazines around astronomy now, and the BBC's Sky at Night magazine, which is perhaps a bit easier to understand if you were starting out.
And do you need to spend lots of money on a telescope or anything like that?
No, not to start with. Wait till you're sure you're really interested. It's actually quite difficult using a telescope. You need to know what you're doing, what you're looking for.
And finally, yeah. I remember you said that you first got interested in this when you got a Ladybird book when you was a kid. What's the one thing that sort of like draws you into this and sort of really fascinates you and makes it such a, fascinating subject?
I suppose always you come out and you look up at the night sky and you see all these things happening, and then you start to wonder how they work and how things fit together and what's happening out there. Because all these stars are suns like our sun of various sizes, and then you find out that what they're actually doing is a nuclear reaction up there in the sky, and then you think of something else, and there's just so much to learn. And the thing is with astronomy, there's always something new. It's always new exploration, there's new things being found. We had all the excitement over the comet landing and what would they find there and would it prove out where life came from. It's just endlessly fascinating, I think, and you can specialise in whatever aspect of it excites you the most.
Lindsay Jones from the Friends of West Ham Park, thanks for joining us here on New Sound Radio 92 FM.
Thank you very much.
And the Friends of West End Park, they regularly hold events, and it doesn't always rain when they do them. I've been over to them actually when they've had some sunshine. Anyway, of course, you wouldn't want too much sunshine when you're looking up at the stars, I was thinking about that one. Anyway, if you want to find out more about the Friends of West End Park and their activities, they've got a website. It's one of those ones with a rather complicated web address. So probably the best way to do it is if you go to a search engine, Google or whatever, and you type in Friends of West End Park, you'll be able to find it from there, yeah? And... Okay, they're a really great little group, and yeah, they do a lot of good stuff down there. And of course, if you've never been to West Ham Park, it's worthwhile just going down there for that, because it's quite an amazing place, with an amazing history as well. Okay, stay tuned, because after the break, we're going to be looking at a group of local people who've come together, because their local council is doing some things with their housing that they're not too happy about. Stay tuned to New Sound Radio 92 FM and we'll find out all about it.
Advertise on New Sound Radio for as little as £10 per day.